Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Canode Knows. What year did Animal Can I Eat come out? Pop quiz. Leave a comment. I think I couldn't find it online, but I think 2004. Either way, it came out just in time for it to be one of the most influential bike videos I've ever watched. And Lino Gonzalez was just on my screen at home on repeat all day, every day, including all the other guys, Edwin and Butcher and Bob Sherbo and, you know, everybody, Tyrone. Animal Can I Eat was influential, to say the least. And talking to Lino a bit, it's kind of crazy the impact that it had. And like, everybody involved in the video gets frame sponsor offers and gets put on Road Fools and all this shit. It's crazy how much of an impact one video could have back then. I'm not sure if there's anything like that today. Like, even, you know, Monster, Freak, I mean, they all have the opportunities. Whatever, I digress. I can't believe I got to sit and talk with Lino Gonzalez. Yeah, so he's this episode. He's the creator of 90 East. He wrote for 2Hip, wrote for Animal, and is true to what he likes, and I admire the shit out of that. 90 East is super dope. Lino's writing has been dope, and he's in the filming and editing, and I like his style there, too. So, Lino, if you're watching, thank you for coming on, and yeah, feeling pretty grateful today for all of you guys that listen to the show, so thank you for listening, thank you for sharing, and thanks for all the good feedback. He's a pilot now, Lino is, and we talk about that. We talk about his whole BMX career, some do's and don'ts, spots, and it was a good one. So enjoy, share the show with a friend, and see you next week. Here's Lino Gonzalez. Hello, Lino.
How you doing?
It's a hectic morning, dude. Monday.
Yeah, I feel that.
I usually like release these on Monday morning and just go to work and think about other shit. But this is the first one that I'm recording at the same time that I would be releasing it. So it's, you know, different vibe.
Nice. Cool.
What does a Monday look like for you?
Monday's usually my day off.
Are you working 6 days a week and you just get one day off?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, let's talk about that, because I saw you're a pilot. How do you go from being a courier and a BMX? You worked on a BMX bikes, maybe? Is that what I saw in a different interview? And then how do you go from courier to pilot?
Well, basically, the whole time that I was riding and making money riding, right? Like, I always knew that it would be over at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of always saved money, and I planned on going to school. I was thinking about going to school for like computer coding or something like that.
That would be smart.
Yeah.
Yo, by the way, will you move the like a mic away from your beard? I think it's like.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, cool. That better?
Yeah.
All right, so we can start that over again if you want
to. No, fuck it. It's raw. You were going to go to school?
Yeah. I always planned on going to school after I was done getting paid to ride, right? So saved up money for that. And it came time to kind of do that. And I was just kind of sitting there like, do I really want to, like, you know, go to school for computers and just end up sitting at home in front of a computer all day? Or do I want to actually, like, do something kind of cool that I kind of always wanted to do? So I just, you know, went for it.
It was like that general thought of like, all right, I want to do something cool. And then did you have a list of shit that was cool? Or like, cause like, that's so far out to me. Like, pilot seems like something that you got to grind for like ever. And then you become a pilot.
It's definitely a grind. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it like a choice between a couple of things that you wanted to do, or you just like either school or becoming a, or go into the fucking sky, you know, like what were the choices for yourself?
Like I said, my main thought was to go to school for computer coding, because I already had experience with like making websites and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But flying, ever since I was a kid, was kind of in the back of my mind. I just didn't know exactly how to go about it. And I ended up actually, before I went to flight school, I was working at Boston Logan Airport here.
Yeah, doing what?
I ran into someone there who was in flight school, and he just made it sound like, oh, he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to flight school. Like, part time, like, and working here. I was like, you're gonna be a pilot? And he was like, yeah. And he just kind of explained to me how it works, and he's like, yeah, you could do it too. Like, it's, I was like, all right, cool. So I just kind of
Hell
like looked
yeah.
into it and started, you know.
Is it has How long have you been a pilot?
Three years.
Is it everything you were hoping it would be and more? What's good about it? What sucks about it?
It is definitely awesome. You can't really think of too many downsides, man, honestly, to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm up there flying with a student and I'm looking out the window and I'm like, I get to sit here and do this all day.
Yeah,
You
that's
know, like,
pretty dope.
it's pretty crazy, you know, like I mean, it is a grind. It's a lot of work. I guess that could be the downside, but you know, the more work you put in, you instantly kind of see the rewards,
Yeah,
you
hell
know.
yeah.
So
Are
it's
you What kind of pilot are you? It's like there's different kinds, right? You can be a commercial one, or it sounds like you're teaching other people how to fly. Like
I'm a
what kind
commercial
of pilot are
pilot
you?
and a
Oh,
flight instructor.
sick. So you're doing like with a company like Delta or American Airlines type shit, or
No. Commercial pilot meaning that I can fly for money. I'm not an airline pilot.
okay, got it.
Yeah.
I'm out of the airline world, dog. I don't know the
Yeah, it can be misleading the way that it's worded, but
Okay. So what
yeah.
is it like? How I mean, who pays you to fly?
The flight school.
Cool.
So people come into the school, they want to be a pilot, they get matched up with one of us. According to the schedule, we can kind of make our own schedules, and that's it. We just teach them how to fly, and
That's super dope. What
yeah.
about teaching in general? Do you have that like in you? Because I'm sure you wanted to be a pilot, but you maybe didn't necessarily sign up to become a teacher. Do you like Have you enjoyed teaching people shit over the years?
Right. That's you're right. I didn't originally want to become a teacher, or I just it wasn't in my mind that it's something that I would enjoy, right?
Yeah.
But as I got into it and got my licenses you know, I was planning to not go the flight instructor route and just try and get like a job flying cargo or something like that.
Yeah.
But the owner of the flight school was kind of suggested it to me. He was like, you know, you might be a good teacher, and he's like, it kind of is similar to what you do in BMX. You know what I mean? Because he knew a little bit about 90 East and all that, and he's like, the way that you kind of teach these guys how to ride and navigate the industry and all that, he's like,
Yeah.
that's sort of the same thing. And I was like, oh,
Hell
I never
yeah.
thought of that. You know, that makes perfect sense.
That's dope.
So
So I
yeah,
guess, yeah, pivot from that into 90 East. Who's been your best student? If you're the teacher of 90 East, who's the best student?
I mean,
Pick your favorite kid,
it's
basically.
no, nah, man, it's all the crew, man. Like
Yeah.
that's yeah, that's the
When and how did it start? I feel like it started late double O's, late 2000s is when 90 East started. When did you start it?
March 16th, 2009.
Boom. Fuck
Yeah,
yeah.
exact date.
Why do you remember the exact date?
It was my birthday is March 6th, so it was shortly after my birthday. I remember that year. And it originally started as a video. We were just going to make a video. It wasn't going to be a brand.
Nice.
So yeah, I had gotten TRV 900 from Bob that I was
Nice.
using to film for animal cuts at the time.
Yep.
And I just started filming other stuff, like you know, everybody that was around, I kind of just started filming them. At that time, it was like Abdul Fofana, Jake Frost, Jesse Williams, Carlos Rojina, Mike Penny. Like, these were all the guys that I was riding with like every day. And we just started filming, and before I knew it, I had footage of them, and there was nowhere for it to go. So I was like, let's make a video, you know.
Hell yeah. That's beautiful. That's organic as fuck.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then how long into it did you start doing the merch, the everything, the shirts, the hats, the fucking BMX parts at this point? Like,
Yeah,
What was it like getting into that?
It took about a year to film the video. So when the video is ready to go, by that time we had kind of messed around with the idea of making it a brand at that point. It didn't start that way, like I said, but by the time the video was like done, I was like, all right, let's make some shirts and to go along with the DVD and all that. And we did that and sold out of those, and I was like, all right, cool, let's make more. And
Hell
then
yeah.
just kind of built up from there, you know.
How many, do you mind me asking? Like, shirts was in that first batch that sold out?
Not many, man.
Though.
I don't know, probably definitely less than 50, probably like
Hell
48 or something like that, or 42.
yeah. I'm gonna have to talk to you about blanks when we're done with the show so I can get some. 'Cause like I started fucking with this I guess I think it's called drop shipping, but like I use Shopify and then I can design something and I don't ever have to have it. I just like hit fulfill order and somebody does it. But I want to go back to getting, 40 shirts and selling them through a website. Like it's been a hot minute since I've done that, but I fucking love it. Like shipping out orders, like it seems like tedious work, but it's nice. I like doing it.
Yeah, I mean, once it gets to a certain point, it kind of it's not fun
Yeah, it's
anymore.
not nice
I can tell you
anymore.
that
Yeah.
much.
It's like, what are you doing today? Packaging orders and going to the post office. Like, all
Yeah.
right.
On my day off, I'm
Yeah, I'm working.
working basically. Yeah, so.
That's sometimes how it feels like day off and then I'm working. I do video and shit for work and then on my day off I'm going to film BMX and then make content or record a podcast. It's like it's all right. Sometimes it's work, sometimes it's not.
Yeah. Just remember, it could be worse,
100%, dude. That's the
you
shit. It could be way worse. What do
know?
you think your life would be like if you never found BMX, being from South Bridge, right? And then dude,
So you
I
did your
read so I
research, huh?
Yeah, I read an interview from like 2017, and you told him to check out this documentary about South Bridge, and I looked at that trailer, and I was just like, God damn, dude, like sketch, like so, just drugs, people missing teeth, and just sounding like idiots, you know? And then the history of your town with it used to be a glass manufacturing American Dream-esque area, and then just within a decade, it all goes to China, and then everybody's left with no jobs and all that. Like, so where would you be if you didn't find BMX?
Well, first of all, to address that's that story of Southbridge is correct, exactly what you're saying. That's like a typical I guess sort of northeast mill town type of thing. That's pretty common. There's a lot of towns around here that are similar to that. They were all like factory towns, and then the factory left to Mexico or China, and then it just destroyed the town.
It's
That's like a pretty
crazy.
common
Yeah.
thing up here. But yeah, man, I have no idea, honestly. I mean, I started riding when I was like really started riding when I was like 12 or something like that, and it just that was my first job, pretty much, and that in a way made it possible for what I'm doing today, also, you know what I mean? So it's like it kind of just that's been my whole life,
Yeah, and
BMX.
it's so dope, like the skills you learn along the way, especially if you get into it. Like filming and editing kind of comes second nature if you get into BMX or skating. Like it's just part of the game. Like learning websites and learning selling shit, like that's part of the game. And I think you like almost inherently learn marketing, which is a interesting skill. Like I apply it to these real estate guys who hire me to do create content for them, and they're like you know, and I just kind of have a what it is. You gotta. In general, marketing. We don't need to get into it, but
No, that's definitely true. I think that comes along with if you're like a sponsored rider also, you sort of have to learn that, right? And you sort of naturally learn that.
yeah.
I mean, it comes from seeing yourself in videos too. You
Yep.
know, you kind of look and you see kind of like what works, what doesn't, and you
Yeah.
kind of you get a sense for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then I don't know, from there, attention to detail, like what am I wearing? Like
There
what
you go.
spot am I riding? All that,
Exactly. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Speaking of sponsors, tell me about the early days. What was your first sponsor? Two
My first sponsor when I was 16, I think, or 15, was Torker. Do you remember Torker, the
Torker.
bike company? You don't remember that?
No, you see, you're like a generation before me. You were like already almost matured in BMX when I barely learned what BMX is.
All right, so
Torker.
they were a part of Redline, basically.
Okay.
They were big like in the 80s and then kind of like died out in the 90s, but they kind of made like a little resurgence in like the late 90s.
They look
And
sick, Torker bikes, by the way.
yeah, you're
Yeah.
looking it up.
Yeah.
They had the twin top tube.
Yeah, this is
That's
sick.
yeah. So I think I was like 15 or 16, and we used to do like shows for like the local bike shop. There was a guy there that he was kind of big in the 80s, and then he had opened up a bike shop in my hometown, and then had a bunch of like hookups in the industry or whatever. So we started kind of like riding with him and doing shows and that, and he got us hooked up with Torker, so we got some free
Hell
bikes and
yeah.
all that. Yeah, but
What
that was the
were
first sponsor.
shows like? Like putting up, were there just two quarter pipes and then flat ground in between and you're putting on a show? Like what were shows like that you were doing?
Yeah, we had a spine, like a 4 foot spine,
Okay.
that we would like put on a trailer. So we just kind of like put that in the middle, and then like we could all ride flatland and, ride the spine also. So it was a combination of the two things.
Hell yeah. I was just talking with Catfish and Clay and some homies last night talking about like back in the day, it was all flatland. It was either like you're an aerial or flatland. And a lot of people would just compete in both or put on shows in both, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was a big thing back then. It kind of, maybe because of the internet, it's like more accessible to see now. It kind of died down over
Yeah.
time, but that was how I kind of started, doing that, getting sponsored or whatever.
It's wild to think like there's generations of kids that only know internet life. They don't know having to go somewhere to see something. Like they can just pull it up on their phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, life was really boring back then.
Yeah. And so like dudes doing tricks on a BMX bike in a parking lot is like a event, you know? But now it's like they just scroll right past it type shit. It's wild. So the first sponsor was Torker. When did you, I guess, get a taste of the industry? Like, did you have that dream ever of like, I want to be a sponsored rider? I feel like you didn't probably. You just enjoyed it for, but I'll let you talk. Like, what was your first taste of like, oh shit, okay, cool.
I mean, I guess when you're younger, I don't, people, every kid kind of has that dream, I guess,
Yeah.
but I was never into contests or anything like that. I mean, I've been in a few when I was younger, but it was never a good time. It's just not something I enjoy. So I never like went that route, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. In the early days, that was probably some of the motivation. But like I said, as I get older, it just kind of focused on more just riding and filming stuff,
Yeah. Who was, I mean, I read in that interview talking about early trips with Bob, and you didn't even know that you were gonna have a part in Can I Eat? Was it Can I Eat?
Yeah, can
Or
I eat? Yeah.
yeah. And then Bob's like, you're on the team once your video part was like done filming. But I guess just tell me some stories about hanging out with Bob, Ed, Vinny, and Tom. Did anything
Well,
come to mind?
what you're speaking of, there was that first trip, I think to Ohio, where most of Can I Eat was kind of, for me, most of it was filmed on that trip. I went from up here down to Jersey, and then from Jersey to Ohio, and then we came back. I think I stayed at Bob's house for like almost a month, and just kind of finished filming that part. And like you said, I didn't necessarily know I was gonna like be on the team or anything.
Yeah.
I just had met I met originally met George D first. One of my friends ended up talking to him on AIM on Instant
Nice.
Messenger, and there was a skate park in our hometown, so he was like, hey, why don't you come to this contest we're having at the skate park in our hometown. So George ended up coming up. I ended up meeting him, exchange information. I would go down to Jersey and kind of hang out with George. And then I met Bob and Ralph and everyone. And Bob was like, yeah, why don't you, we're going out to Ohio. You should come on this trip. So I just went on the trip, and that was it. I didn't think it was going to be anything. Like we had been friends for a little bit at that point, so it wasn't like, it was natural. It didn't, it wasn't like
Yeah.
a,
It wasn't like, oh shit, there's Bob. He's gonna film an animal video. I want to be
right,
him.
right. It was we mo most of the time we weren't riding, basically. You know what I
Nice.
mean? Like it's like it's that's just kind of how all of our we're all kind of like that in a way. It's like, we're not talking about riding 24/7 or trying to ride all the time or any of that. Like a lot of those trips were just a lot of not riding and just hanging out and whatever.
Partying? Were you partying in the early days? Are you partying now? You're obviously not partying now. You're a pilot. You gotta stay straight laced. But were you a party boy back in the day?
No.
No. Straight laced. Straight laced Lino.
Well, we had some good times, but nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. Cool. It's interesting to think about that. Like, what was Bob doing? Was that his main job, just working, making a video for Animal, or did he have a job outside of it and schedule trips type shit? Like,
None of us had jobs at that
nice.
point. It was just it was just riding, like and at that point, Animal wasn't big. They had only put the first video out, you know what I mean? So at that point, I think they only had like Pegs and Sprockets. It was still really small.
So how you guys afford to go on a trip with no job, no
I think about that to this day. I have no
Hell
idea. Like I used to
yeah.
leave for trips with like $20 in my pocket, and
Yes.
I would somehow make it home alive.
Yeah.
And I have no idea.
Those were the days, dude. Just not like literally going on a trip. I think I've gone on a trip with like $100 and then make it work. That's kind of miss that. I miss BMX being my entire life a little bit, but that's, it's like a romantic period of your life. And then eventually it's like, nah, you gotta pay the bills. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean BMX is still a part of your life though. You
Fuck
know what I
yeah.
mean? You're doing
Yeah.
this.
But it's
You're
not, yeah, I love
you know
this.
what I mean? So
This isn't paying the bills, but I love it. It's so sick.
exactly. Yeah, see.
Get to talk to the people that I've been looking up to forever, including you, dude. It's wild to think back to like I'd be down the street at my buddy Cleon's house and he's showing me Can I Eat? And then I just have no idea who Lino is, but he's fucking sick, that's and then here you are on my computer screen however many years later. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, what's crazy to think is that, yeah, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, like what the
Like,
fuck?
that's crazy.
And I mean, the fact that you're still doing it says a lot. I love that. And the 90 East shit, I wrote down, I wanted to know, out of all the 90 East videos, which one are you most proud of entirely? And then I got to get back to the early days and stuff, but I'm
Yeah.
curious. Curious, which 90 East video are you most proud of?
I mean, it's a terrible answer, but all of them, obviously. But the first one for me kind of has a special place, just because it for me it was for my for my part in particular, it was just all about fun. At that point, and just kind of like exploring the environment a little more, a little deeper, as opposed to like before that, I was filming for the animal videos and kind of trying to like push myself to do like more difficult things or like new tricks or like, you know what I mean? Kind of
Yeah.
push myself down that route for that first 90 section. It was like, okay, now, like, it was kind of like a canvas to do whatever I wanted.
Fuck
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And just kind of like explore all the towns around here that I hadn't been to yet and just like, look for cool obstacles to do something on. And that's pretty much it. Like not taking into account like the difficulty of the trick or like anything like that. You know what I mean? It was just total like, freedom from that. Like
Yeah, that's liberating. Just like, okay,
yeah,
no,
it
no
really
pressure, just
is.
enjoy yourself. Yeah. I love that. I what about writing wise? Which video of yours or like your part in it has do you think is the best writing?
I mean, the best writing isn't the goal, right? So
I know it's not the goal, but you have 90 East videos. Which one? Pick one, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They're all different. They all have the same vision, so to speak, but they're all a little bit different, just in time periods and locations are different. Like the first one is more kind of spread out in all of New England, and then as they got later and later, they became more and more Boston centric.
Okay.
Right, like Neighborhood Watch was really, really, probably 90% of that video is in like Boston City Limits.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it really kind of like that's what sort of changed. And then for Capital, we kind of went back to more riding all over New England and Massachusetts and everything.
What's a day like filming? Like, I guess Capital is the most recent example, but like, are you gathering everybody every time you go out, or like doing, I'm sure I already know the answer of just like, sometimes it's everybody, sometimes it's like one-on-one type shit, but what's a day look like to go work on Capital, and where are you going? Are you like driving and then pedaling around exploring, or are you going to a specific thing that somebody has in mind? It's a stupid question, because there's that, I know exactly, like it varies, right?
It varies, but we kind of, it's our decisions are usually based on like, are we riding like in the city today, or are we like leaving the city? That's you know, that was like the main question.
Gotcha.
If we're staying in the city, then it's like, you know, we'll just go through the normal thing of like, hey, somebody will suggest something, and then everybody else will be like, that spot sucks, or like,
yeah,
you just go through like 3 hours of that, and then you finally somebody picks on in a general direction to go, and nobody's really happy with it, but you just go that way anyway, and then something ends up happening.
That's the most relatable shit I've ever heard too.
Pretty much like,
should we go to the spot? No, that spot sucks. Fuck that spot. And yeah, everybody starts chirping. It's like, all right, fine. Goddamn, dude.
Yeah. Everybody suggests something that everybody else turns down. And then eventually you just get sick of it, and somebody starts pedaling in a direction, and you're like, all right, whatever, man.
Yep.
I guess we're going this way. Like,
that's real.
But then what usually happens is you end up finding something awesome. You know, like it's
yeah.
The days where you kind of have no direction sort of seem to end up better, because your expectations are low and you just want to ride.
That's the key, dude.
Doesn't
low
really
expectations
what you ride, you know.
Yeah. What's in your backpack when you're on a day that you are just pedaling around the city? What are you carrying with you? What camera are you filming on? I noticed like the HD but 4:3 aspect ratio, beautiful. Like that's so good. Yeah,
thank you. I'm glad that that somebody noticed. Somebody noticed that. Yeah, I mean, I use a Canon DSLR. I have for a long, long time. Ever since 2012, I think it was. Before that, I was using the VX and the TRV 900 and all that. But yeah, it's just a Canon DSLR, and I hate riding with a backpack. That's
me too.
That's one thing that like, that was one reason why I got rid of the bigger camera. Cause I used to have like an Ogio camera bag and have the 900 in there, you know, have like a big bunch of light batteries, like all this stuff in there. And then over the years, I just kind of thinned it down to like a, you know, like a Eastpak backpack basically with just the DSLR in it. And that's pretty much it. Cause I hate carrying a camera around.
So with you on that, dude. I like, they don't know the camera bag struggles, dude. I'm not stoked. Like, people enjoy riding from spot to spot because they can just bunny hop and cruise around in manual, and I'm just got my camera bag on, like, looks nice, looks fun. I wish I could do that, you know.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me. I mean, I'm not doing all the filming for the videos. Seth Ethier, he helps me with the filming, so I got a shout out to him. The last few years he kind of inherited the camera bag.
Hell yeah.
And I've been able to kind of come out and like ride without a backpack, which is like really that changed my life, man. Like, because
yeah,
for
thing.
Years I was riding with a, you know what I mean, for 10 more than 10 years riding with a camera bag. And then he was like, he's also working on his own video So he was bringing the bag out, and he was like, "Yeah," he's like, "I'll just bring the camera out or whatever, man." Like,
Hell
I
yeah.
was like, "Awesome, dude!" So I kind of, shout out to Seth for helping me out on that.
Shout out to Seth. Is he? He's not Percocet on Instagram,
Yeah,
is he?
that's him.
Okay, sick.
He's
Hell
coming
yeah.
out with another video also. Today I got time.
Fuck yeah, that's a good title.
He came, Volume 1 came out a couple years ago. He's coming out with number 2, I think,
Today I
probably
got
pretty
time.
soon.
Damn,
But
I'm sleeping. I didn't see the first one.
yeah, I'll send you the link to that, actually.
Hell yeah.
Really good.
Today I got time, cuz. Who else should I, since we're on that? Yeah, fucking A. The link's in his bio. I gotta watch that.
Yeah, man, check it out.
Who else should I know about? That's usually a question I ask on here. Like, who are you watching that I might not be that I should be?
I mean, sorry. I don't watch much BMX, honestly. Like, I like what I like, and that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? Like, that's really all I want to see.
Yeah.
So I don't watch any of like the big videos or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's just not interesting to me. It's not what I do. It's not what I like to see. So like, mainly what I watch is people that I know. I'll watch their like Instagram stories or like stuff like that. Like
Yeah.
that's probably what I cons BMX wise, what I consume the most of is like, someone that I know. It's they'll put like, a little compilation of clips on Instagram or something, and I'll watch that, and that'll kind of get me like excited to ride. You know what I
Hell
mean?
yeah. Name a
So as far
couple.
as videos and stuff go, like, I'm sure you've seen this. Have you seen the Strange Ways videos from
Yes.
England? Clarkie made
Fuck
those.
yeah.
Yeah, I always look forward to those. Those are awesome. And we're kind of on the same wave as far as like BMX goes too. So I know they're going to be good. I know it's going to be what I want to see. You know what I mean? Obviously, Joey, AMPM, all that.
Yeah.
But I
So
mean,
good.
other than that, man, like I said, I don't watch too much.
But you said you watch people you know. Who do you, name a couple of people you know that maybe I could
Mean,
watch too.
obviously, everybody in the crew, Seth,
Yeah.
Matt Green, Camilo Ocampo, who is kind of a new addition to the crew. He had a part in Capital. Everybody in the crew. There's some guys up in Maine I like to watch too. James Meliota. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was in the crew also. Shout out to Dean Train up in Portland, Maine. I always get excited because he always puts a lot of his riding in the stories. And you go in the story, and like the little story bar up top will be chopped into like a million pieces. And I'm like, oh, nice. It's like watching a
Yeah,
new
like
video
edit.
part
Yeah.
almost. So,
Hell yeah.
but yeah, that's the kind of stuff that makes me excited. You know what I mean? Just kind of seeing people like lesser known people riding the area that they're from,
Yeah.
or the area that they grew up in. That's what I want to see. I have kind of at this point, and never really did have an interest of in seeing like the big brand videos or like big budget videos or whatever. It's kind of boring to me.
Yeah,
You know what I
you
mean?
like the cutty shit. How do you
Yeah,
track your spots?
how do I?
Are you a spot nerd? Are you like pinning shit with photos and keep it all organized, or are you just winging it, pedaling around?
It's all in my head for the most part. I take pictures of stuff, but I always refer to it as like the mental map. If I
Yeah.
don't know if anybody's hung out with me, they know what I'm talking about. But kind of, I don't like when there's like gaps in my mental map.
So you
So
got to
like,
go fill it in.
yeah, you have to go fill it in. Like it's that really bothers me if I go somewhere and I'm like, I look a direction and I don't know what's over there. It's like, all right, I got to go over there. And it doesn't have anything to do with spots necessarily. It's more of just an obsession with like
Mapping.
mapping in cities and just that kind of thing. That's That's the spots are like the byproduct of that, so to speak. You know
Yeah,
what I mean? Like,
that's interesting. I wonder if that does that apply to your being in the sky now too? Are you like
oh,
looking down at
absolutely.
Earth and like getting obsessed with like, okay, I know that's over there, and that's interesting dude.
Yeah, I've always been a big map nerd, so aviation is just maps on like a whole new level.
Yeah,
So like,
just like moving up. That's
that
interesting.
feeds into it for sure.
Yeah, that's dope. All right, let's go back to early days and your kind of beginnings of the career. And like, I guess Animal Can I Eat might be the first big break, or yeah, it's got to be, right?
That was kind of the beginning of of a long, wild ride, yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
that's like the beat. That sounds like a cool line to put at the beginning of a movie. I guess that was the beginning of a long, wild ride, and then
Yeah.
montage into all this crazy shit. I guess take me on the journey, Lino. What was life like during the Can I Eat phase and after?
Well, like I was saying before, life back then, as you know, pre-internet, basically. Not pre-internet, but pre, like, you know,
Yeah.
internet, the way it is today, was pretty boring, you know. So, I mean, you know, we went on that trip, filmed basically all of Can I Eat, and then, you know, that was it. I didn't see the footage for however long until the video came out. It's not like today where you can just send somebody through the internet the video, you know what I mean? Like, so I had no idea what was happening, basically, you know.
Yeah.
I forget how long it was until the video came out, but once the video came out, it was definitely like sort of a night and day kind of thing. Like the video came out and there were a little like, you know, shops had premieres for it all over and all that.
Yeah.
And then it was like I would go to the skate park or go out or something, and then, you know, someone would like know me. And I'm like, well, this is weird.
That's
You know what I mean?
dope.
Like,
Yeah.
and then I had the opportunity to ride. I rode for Two Hip. That was after that. So it kind of opened up doors.
So
I just
let's talk about Two Hip for a second, because in that other interview, which I'll put in the description of this, I guess, but you said that you used to get a lot of shit for riding for Two Hip. What was that like? Were you getting made fun of for riding Two Hip?
yeah, I mean, are you familiar with Two Hip?
Yeah, Two Hip was, I think, on its way out of relevance when I was just starting, like 2006, 2007. But I remember seeing in Dance Comp the Two Hip Lino complete. Yeah, that's about, I'm not super knowledgeable about the history of Two Hip. I know it's Ron Wilkerson.
That was Ron Wilkerson started it in the early 80s or late 80s, sorry. And it was originally Wilkerson Airlines, and then he renamed it to Two Hip. And yeah, people, it, you know, Ron himself was kind of like a quirky kind of a wild person, you know, so the brand kind of reflected his personality in that way a little bit. So, you know, I got shit every now and then for riding for them, but
Who was giving you shit? I'm
just
picturing.
random people or even, you know, friends would joke about it sometime. But the thing with me was, you know, Ron W was, you know, basically BMX royalty, right? We're
Yeah.
talking like, you know, in the same lane as Bob Haro or Hoffman, and you know what I mean? Like, that's
Yeah.
pretty serious stuff, you know. So I got to learn like a ton from him. And as far as like riding for him, like, he paid well. He took us on a ton of trips, basically. If I called him up and I was like, hey, I want to go wherever, he wouldn't say no. You know, he
Hell
was
yeah.
always into like pretty much letting us do whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it was, he was really good about that, especially about the traveling thing. So to me, it was like, I don't know, man. It just, I got more from riding for Two Hip than I feel like I would have gotten from any other
Fuck
bigger
yeah.
brand at the time, because it was kind of like, at that time we were getting offers. Pretty much anybody on Animal was getting the offer to ride for anyone. Like everybody wanted a part of Can I Eat,
Yeah.
basically. But I feel some of those brands, didn't last long, and some of the other guys ended up riding for them and ended up being unhappy in the in this and that. But like for me, it was like I just got a lot, learning from Ron about the industry, about traveling. He put me on to like a million just
Yeah, fuck yeah. I wrote down
things.
when I saw you say that, I was like, okay, so what did you learn from Ron? Give me like two or three lessons that you learned from Ron.
I mean, he had basically he'd been through the whole industry, right? Like he rode for Haro and made a ton of money back in the day and all that. And he was one guy that kind of educated me about saving money and being like, this thing's gonna be over, man. Like, don't end up like, getting eaten alive by BMX. He
Yeah.
used to say like it's most of these companies just don't care. No one tells you that. They
Right.
just get you
They just
on
give you
and
a
they're just like,
paycheck and you figure it out, fuckface.
They give you $200 a month and they're like, all right, man, cool. And then that's over one day and you're like, okay, but no, he was really, really big on that, and just kind of just kind of making sure that we were aware of things like that in general. You know what I mean? He was always pretty like sort of anti-industry, which I which I also kind of felt the same way. So I don't know, we kind of aligned with like a lot of things like that, other than his like personal quirkiness, which was like, was annoying at times to deal with and
Give me an
whatever. But
example. Give me an example of Ron being annoying.
dude, I don't know, man. He would just do I mean, aside from dressing crazy, he would show up sometimes with like a cowboy hat and like a fur coat all the way down to his ankles. And like, it's like 100 degrees outside in California. And
is quirky, dude.
we'd have to like ride around and like, everybody's just looking at us like, who is this guy? Like, but it, behind it all, he actually was like a really smart, like down to earth like person. He just, was a little bit
It's
eccentric,
eccentric, yeah. That's
yeah,
dope.
which is cool, man. That whatever,
Yeah. Right, so he told you to save money. Can you think of anything else that can give you a lesson?
just typical industry stuff. Everybody in the industry is full of it. Don't believe everybody, all that kind of stuff. You
That's real.
know
Yeah.
what I mean? Which it's,
Would you
it's
mind sharing? You said that Two Hit paid well, and I have, my frame of reference is like from late 2012 to 2017, that riders getting paid like maybe $1,000 a month between two companies. But what was it like for you on Two Hip?
Yeah, that's about right. But he gave me the opportunity also to I had the frame and I had the complete bike. And
Yeah.
this was pretty early for the this was he might have been one of the first to start the complete bike thing. He was pretty early on that.
Yeah, that
So
shit was
I had the
huge at the
signature
time,
complete
huh?
bike, and yeah, after that complete bikes kind of like blew up, and we had the one model where it was like kind of a collaboration between Animal and Two Hip. It was my frame and stuff, and we took all Animal parts. So over in Taiwan, when they put the bike together, they would get all the Animal parts, and it was I can't remember the exact price. I want to say maybe it was like $800 or $900 or something, but it was like a bike that like you could buy it and just ride it. You didn't have to like buy any other parts,
Yeah, that's pretty dope. And
Yeah.
then it was like a contract with royalties or whatever. I'm 'cause I'm sure there's some people listening that are so curious about like the actual deal structure of that. Like there's a percentage that you get of each sale, right? Is that how it works?
For the bikes, it was a dollar. I can't remember, but it was a dollar amount for each bike, you know what I mean? And a
Yeah.
dollar amount for each frame and all that.
And from what I know, that's kind of like a huge deal if you get, grips or a signature part, because then that supplements your regular paycheck and might double your paycheck some months or whatever. Like,
Yeah, unfortunately for me, I was never lucky enough to get a disposable part. I was stuck with signature pegs from Animal, which is the longest lasting
yeah,
part on the bike.
buy it once.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get like a, rubber
Yeah.
part, but no, you're right. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Well, dope. So I guess that's a good, two hip career. How long were you on it?
Not that long. I want to say 7 years, I think maybe from like 2003 to 2000, like 9 or something like that. So yeah, maybe like 6 years. Yeah, 6 years, I think.
And then, I guess continue on with your chronological journey after Can I Eat? Next project is what, All Day?
All day. Yeah.
When did the fakie pole jam come into play? Was that Can I Eat or All Day?
No, the cuts that wasn't
Cuts.
until
Cuts. Okay.
2010. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry, I jumped ahead.
No. Going back to Two Hip for a second in the chronological order. Two Hip. I ended up quitting Two Hip so I could just focus on the Animal videos basically and just riding for Animal.
Cool.
And that's where those other videos come in, all day and then cuts after that. So,
What
but
was it like filming All Day? Because that's another one where it's just in my head. I've seen it 100,000 times. I've watched All Day.
yeah. Yeah. For me, that was like that was kind of a weird era. That video was like very New York City centric, like directly New York City. Bob and Ed and everybody was living at the Shack in Bushwick. So for that video, I would come down there and stay at the Shack, mostly ride around Brooklyn, and again, just kind of cruise around, find random things, not really taking it that serious. But yeah, that was pretty much it for that video. That was just a lot of back and forth in New York City. Or Bob would come up by me and kind of ride around here.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that was it for that.
What's the highlight clip wise or just like moment wise while filming for All Day that jumps into your mind?
Probably honestly the shape spot, which most of it's gone now. It's in it was around Boston, and I think Ed came up, Wiz, Vinny. That session always stands out to me just because it was cold out. I remember it was really cold out, and just everybody kind of got something.
Yeah.
Like we kind of pulled up in the van, everybody got out, and it was like everybody already kind of had something in mind that they wanted to do, which was like kind of rare. And it all happened like pretty quickly and easily, which
Hell
was
yeah.
just, yeah, a lot of fun. And Ed has the opening line in his part is there,
Yeah, 180
which,
Feeble Indian is in
yeah,
that line,
exactly. Yep.
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
With
And then he
speed
jumps over
too.
the like red arch, which is like pretty high.
Yeah. And then Feeble
Feeble
Smith,
three.
Feeble 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking A, dude. It's crazy how like that's a long video, but that clip and I what did you do on it? Did you do the Rainbow Smith to Feeble? Or is that an older video?
Yeah, Smith the Feeble Emmanuel, and then Ice Hard 180 on the
Yeah,
Animal.
the Ice Hard 180. I just rewatched it yesterday and I was like, "Damn, that's pretty early, the Ice Hard 180. You were on that early. Who's the first person to do Ice Hard 180?
I'm not sure. That could be one of them. I'm not 100% sure. I know at the time, Slow Joe, rest in peace, Slow Joe, but I know he was trying it at the time, and we kind of had like a,
A race.
yeah, we were friendly, but at the same time, I would, call Navaz or whoever it was and be like, yo, he do the ice hard 180 yet?
Hell yeah. So I'm gonna say it's you then. You were the first ice hard 180. That's, I'll run with that as a fact for the rest of my life now. Lino G was the first ice hard.
I'm not gonna back that, but you know. I want to say somebody in England did it first.
I can see that.
Maybe I'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, let's figure it out. Let's figure out the ice hard 180. The history of the ice hard. Now these fools are doing it to 360 and making it look easy. Do you follow Jerry Blabel? He's like from Poland, I think, but he's a freak.
Probably seen it.
Yeah, ice hard 180 bars, like it's nothing. Ice hard threes, nice and easy. What's the craziest ice hard shit you've seen now?
That I saw an ice three that looked really good finally.
Yeah.
Like I had nuts. Seen like, I mean, even with a double peg hard three, they never look good.
Yeah.
You know, but I finally saw one that like looked good and I was like, oh, that's sick. You know what I mean? It doesn't really register with me until someone like makes it look good.
Make it smooth, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the hard tricks are difficult. The hard way spinning tricks are difficult because they just, I don't know, you kind of get in that weird position where you're
get
all
in the
like
boner
really stiff
position
and trying to spin. Yeah.
You look like a boner when you do ice. Yeah. Like feeble hard 180s, I feel like such a boner. Just, you know, like, it is what it is.
It's difficult to make it feel good.
Yeah. But when it does feel good, dude, it's a damn good feeling trick.
100%,
So let's see, all day, cool. And then let's move on. What's after all day? What's life like at this point? This has got to be the heyday of animal days, but.
Yeah, definitely. After all day. That's probably when animal was at its biggest, Influence-wise and money-wise, for sure.
Yeah.
That was like probably the 07, 08-ish, maybe like right around there. And then we started working on cuts. Cuts took years. I think it took like maybe 5 years or something like that. It took a while to finish. And that was kind of like, in my mind, was like the last hurrah of animal, so to speak, was cuts. You
at
know,
least the golden era of animal, that could have been the sun setting on that, you know.
Yeah. And I remember specifically, I was talking about this not that long ago with somebody, I remember specifically going into Mike Oso's office, who was the CEO at the time, and I think it was a Ride UK issue he had in there that had just come out, and there was a two-page spread. It was a Nathan Williams interview, and there was a two-page spread of him ice picking this ridiculously long kinked rail. It had to have been like 12 flat 12 or something. And I remember looking at that and being like, yeah, this is over for us. Like, this is like, that was the moment that I knew that, like, all right, the time's ticking on like our whole like operation here, you know?
Yeah. Oh shit, that's funny.
it just went from something, you know, like in Can I Eat, Bob did the one on that kinked rail here, and it's like, you know, it was something that you didn't see that often. Like, it was still like a pretty difficult thing to ice pick a kinked rail, and then that one that Nathan did it on, I was just like, dude, this is so far ahead of like everything that's going on now, like, you
big
know,
time. Yeah,
this is over for us.
Dude, Nathan's a freak, man.
Yeah,
and just been good. Like, that's over a decade ago that you're talking, and fucking sheesh.
Yeah,
and he's still going like full steam ahead, which is incredible, dude.
Yeah, it's insane.
Nathan Williams is pretty fucking special. All right. So once, I mean, the sunsets. Well, actually, we did the all day moment. What would you say is your cuts moment that jumps to mind?
I mean, cuts, man. Cuts was there was kind of a lot of those seeing the writing on the wall moments for cuts. I feel like it was like everybody's getting older, you know. There was a lot of people involved with the video, which makes it difficult. You know, as you've made videos, you know, the more people, the more difficult it is. So like, you know, that kind of made filming more difficult, and you know, trips were difficult, and everything just kind of felt more like, you know, we were just, it wasn't like just enjoying the trip and having a good time. It was more about trying to get this done. We just got to get this thing done, and all that, you know what I mean? So
Yeah, the
definitely
vibe
like
changed big
less
time.
enjoyable, and you could kind of like feel that vibe, you know?
Yeah.
So,
And I don't
but
want to say you were spoiled, but I mean, that sounds amazing to create Can I Eat an All Day and not have stress of like we're creating something. It sounds like very rare and fucking awesome. You know, that's, and then to go from that to like, oh shit, we got deadlines and we got to do all this, like it changes the vibe. It's like, fuck, you know? But
yeah, and that's exactly what happened, pretty
yeah.
much. Yeah, I mean, and for us, I'm not speaking for Bob, because I'm sure for him it was stressful the whole time because he was the one making the actual video. But
Yeah.
you know, for us, it was just like, yeah, whatever, man. You know,
Yeah, that's a
there
beautiful
there was
thing.
never any time really, and even with that being said, towards the end, when it got, you know, we were worried about that stuff. That was never, you know, Ralph never put any pressure on us or whatever, to be overly productive or anything like that. You know, I think it was during the filming of All Day. I went to Austin for almost a month to stay with Bob, and I filmed one clip, and I
Hell
came
yeah.
back, and you know, I was on the phone with Ralph or something, and I was like, "Yeah, man." He's like, "How'd the trip go?" And I was like, you know, I was all right. I filmed like one thing, like kind of thinking that he would be like mad about it. He was like, "Oh, sick, awesome." You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
he wasn't. He was always cool like that in that way. You know, there was never any pressure.
Yeah, hell yeah. What was the, I mean, what was the end of you and Animal?
That was the kind of thing where I just found myself complaining about things more than not, right? So when it comes to that point, it's like, all right, this is over, you know.
Yeah.
That was how it ended up with 2 Hit previously, before too, was like, you know, Ron was kind of putting pressure on, he was getting mad about sticker placements and magazine ads or like this and that and like some other things, and it was like I was constantly dealing with that and just complaining. So I was like, all right, I'm just complaining too much, so like this is over, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of the same thing with Animal. Like at that point, Bob had already left. I think this was like 20, I don't know, 2016 or 20, maybe 2016. Yeah. I think
Was
like
Bob
Bob
like
had already.
staff at Animal? Was he like a staff videographer for Animal? Is that
Yeah, he was a
what he,
team
okay.
manager and
Okay, got
videographer and all
it.
that. So like he had already left, and like, I don't know, things just weren't going the direction that I liked. So it's like, all right, I'm cool.
Yeah, once you lose like the Bob, then you lose the whole kind of thing. It starts to fall apart after that, I would
Yeah, it's
imagine.
not,
Yeah.
what it was anymore. You know
Yeah.
what I mean?
Because
So
it feels like, because he's your point of contact for Animal, so it's like I love filming with Bob, so I'm there. But then once that changes, then it's like that's just the beginning of the end for sure.
yeah, and I don't, I've always been pretty like particular about who I film with. I don't, I like, I was never, I never liked just, you know, some random filmer or whatever. I always filmed with Bob or Nawaz or Dalecki or like, that's pretty much it. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? I wasn't into like going on a trip with some dude that I've never met before and like, oh, you're the new filmer now. Like, it's like, all right, man,
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
good. Like,
It is a, 'cause it's an intimate relationship, the filmer
yeah.
and the writer, you know? It's a special thing.
And I'm not, I was never trying to play the whole industry thing, you know what I mean? Like, so it just, it didn't really matter to me, you know what I mean? Like, I had been on Road Fools and all that, and it's like when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I want to do that, and then you kind of go and do it, and it's like, oh, this kind of sucks. Like, for me
Yeah.
anyway, like, it's, you know, I'm not trying to film a million things every day with a bunch
Yeah.
of people that I don't know, like, and like, I don't know, it's just, that's not my whole
I can
thing.
picture you in that Road Fools. Which Road Fools is it? 10, 11, 12,
14,
14?
yeah, 14.
Tell me about that. What was it like going on? How does Road Fools come about back then? Like, how'd you get invited? How long was it? Were you guys roughing it? Like, how awkward is it when they're saying, "All right, here's a mic. I'm going to ask you questions." Because that was a cool documentary style thing, you know. But I can imagine like the making of it is might be a little bit clumsy.
It was definitely cool. Road Fools itself was definitely cool. It just wasn't for me. But that was a result of Can I Eat, basically. You know what I mean? That was like a result of that video being popular, and like basically everybody, sort of everybody got invited on. I think everybody on the team might have went on one at over the course of a few years there. But yeah, I think Bob was working for Props at the time, and he'd mentioned something to Marco about it, and Marco was like, "Yeah, definitely." And yeah, that he Marco emailed over all the information and the contract and all that stuff. And the original plan was to actually go to Canada. So we were gonna all meet up in New York City and then like drive up to Canada to Quebec City, and then go down to like Montreal and Toronto and stuff. It was gonna be like Canadian East Coast sort of thing.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, which I was really excited about because at that point I hadn't been to Canada yet. So I was like, oh, this is gonna be
New
awesome.
spots, yeah.
Yeah, new stuff. What ended up happening was the weather was terrible, and we ended up staying like here, like around like the Northeast. And so that kind of bummed me out. I'm like, all right, so I'm just gonna be like in
Road
my own
foozing to places I've always been, you
area.
know, yeah.
So like that kind of bummed me out. But no, it was type of thing where it's just not for me, man. Like there's a lot of people involved in it. I forget how many riders there were, but there's all the riders, all the filmers, the photographers. You're expected to produce, because they're there paying a lot of money to make the whole thing happen,
Yeah.
and yeah, it's just not really my whole vibe,
Yeah. It's like, no, you don't get to do it when you feel like it. You do it right now. You're
yeah,
gonna get these
basically,
clips.
yeah. I ended up just hanging out with pretty much finding the guys that were on the same type of vibe, and then we just kind of hung out
Who were they? Who
together.
were the homies on Road Fools that you remember?
Chase Hawk, D Hart was on there, Jeff Z, Dalecki, Aaron Ross. Like
Hell
that was
yeah.
pretty much our group.
Squad. That's a
Yeah.
good squad, dude.
Ian
Yeah.
Schwartz too. Actually, me and Ian
Fuck
Schwartz
yeah.
hung out a lot because we were definitely on the same kind of antisocial type
Yeah.
vibe.
Hell yeah. Man, Ian Schwartz was fucking phenomenal, dude. Do
Yeah.
you still talk to him at all?
I haven't talked to him in a long time, man.
Yeah.
Probably 10 years at least.
Man, I wonder, like last I heard he was like on a farm.
Yeah,
He's a
somewhere
farmer.
out in Ohio,
Good for him.
yeah.
You know? Like, there's like a couple dudes that I know, Drew Hasselton and Ian Schwartz, I think made good escapes from BMX. Like, Drew's like got a homestead in Alaska now, which is fucking
Oh,
awesome.
wow.
Yeah. And then Ian's on a farm in Ohio is pretty cool. Just like, I don't know. There's something real about that. Like, just live on the land. That's like almost like the natural conclusion of like,
Yeah, man.
figuring society out, and then you're like, I'll just live. You know, it's a pretty
Yeah, he
beautiful thing.
literally bought the farm,
Boom. Right, where are we? Where Cuts 90 East is already happening, right? While Cuts is going on.
Yeah, that was the like I was saying earlier, the camera that I was using to film some of my stuff for Cuts. I started using it to film the first 90 East video with.
Yeah.
So yeah, those two things were going on at the same time.
How did you feel about capturing tapes?
Oh man, I don't know if have you ever used the TRV 900?
No, I only use the VX, but TRB, is it not mini DV or is it a bigger
It's mini
tape?
DV,
Okay,
yeah, but the mini DV port on it is like the worst manufactured thing ever.
just
Like
flimsy.
it, yeah, the connection would always break, and it would, you know, you'd be in the middle of capturing something and the screen would just go blue and you'd have to, it was the worst experience ever. That was one reason that led me to get the DSLR so early on, was that no tapes, no capturing, like that's amazing. That like that in itself is worth it.
Yeah, big time. Like I get a taste of it. I'm still doing the VX. We're finishing this mediocre at best video, and then that's it forever. Because like the same shit happens where if I move the cable slightly, like it loses connection, and then I just want to freak the fuck out to see like it. And then sometimes I'll capture a clip. I don't know if you ever experienced this, but like capture a clip and then I go watch it back and it's got these weird popping noises, like pop, 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 pop. And I have to go back and recapture it, and then it'll be fine. It's the most frustrating process, especially because I do video for work and I know what it's like to work with like a fast card that like I film thousands of, you know, or not thousands, hundreds of gigabytes of shit and then drop it over in 1 minute. And I'm like, nice. But I have to spend a minute for each minute of a tape, you know, like actually watching all the shit. But
Yeah,
yeah,
no, it's
I
the
think
worst.
I'm jaded because I've done it a lot for over a lot of time, over a lot of time, a lot of tapes. It's the worst. I can't wait to get out. was it a big learning curve switching to the Canon DSLR? Which Canon do you have, by the way? Like a T3i, T5i?
I started with the T3i. Yeah, that
Yeah,
was
that was my first HD guy too.
I still have the original one. That I got in 2000, whatever it was, 2011 or something like that.
What are you editing on? Or actually finish the camera question. Fucking which one do you have now?
I saw the same camera.
The T3i? Nice. It looks crispy as fuck. You're doing good with that. What lens? What fisheye?
It's just like the whatever Opteka maybe or something. It's just like the generic like $100, $120 one, like.
Nice. That ain't too shabby. Yeah, it looks fantastic, dude. I'm stoked on them, especially capital, especially when you switch back from the wide to the square or the 4x3. It's like that's how it's supposed to be. I don't know. The framing. I was thinking about that watching one of the 90 East videos where it's like wide HD, but there's something about like the taller framing that makes sense. Like you don't need to see this wide when you're filming a BMX video. Like it's just something,
I
yeah.
mean, I don't e either one. I think you can make either one look good. I just wanted to switch back to the 4/3 just because the fisheye is wider that way.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like fisheye is designed to be like I think ideally the fisheye would be square, right? Because then you'd see the most. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Whatever. It's cool. I forget my next question. Oh yeah, what are you editing on?
Final Cut Pro.
Final Cut. Nice. That's what I learned on Final Cut 7. But then when they
Yeah,
made
me
the
too.
switch to are you did you make the switch to like Final Cut X or
I do.
whatever?
I have that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it got weird. I felt like it was like iMovie. I was like, this is too almost simple and
It's
intuitive type shit.
easy. That's why I like
Yeah.
it.
That's
I
when
mean,
I.
I don't really care. I would use iMovie if I had to. It just
What are you filming the B-roll on? Like the steady B-roll?
A couple different cameras. T3i can be used for some of it. But yeah,
And then
mostly
what?
everything is a T3i.
Yeah, what are you doing to it to make it look so good, fucking good? Like it looks like a,
Just
you know what I
filters.
mean? Just filters, dog. Don't worry about it. That's my secret sauce. Are you working on not another video? I know Capital just came out, but are you guys talking about another one?
I mean, everybody's asking me about it to start another one. We already have footage too, so there's definitely going to be another project. I don't know what I don't know what format it's going to take, but there'll be another project.
Fuck. How often are you getting out and riding? Like, you work 6 days a week. Are you riding on work days at all?
I do sometimes. I'm generally trying to get out once a week. But that might be by myself or whatever. It just depends.
Yeah, that's the adult schedule. The one day a week, get out and ride.
Yeah. And my work depends on the weather too. So if the weather's bad, I don't work. But it's like if the weather's bad, you can't ride also. So
Yeah,
they
true.
kind of like, you know, they can be tough.
I don't envy the weather of the Northeast. I like Phoenix. It's pretty fucking consistent. Well, it sucks during the summer, but it's pretty consistent. You can ride.
Consistently miserable,
Yeah. For fucking 5 or 6 months, it's pretty fucking miserable. Let's see. I'll refer to my notes. Oh, do you know what she said in that? You said it was an ornamental steel rail. Do you know like types of rails? That's in that interview you were talking about your first rail, and you said it was a something ornamental rail, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And I had to like go I
Ornamental
Googled,
iron.
yeah, ornamental iron rail, and I was like, what is that? So I Googled it, and then I see the
It's
exact type.
the, yeah, it's like the black rails with like
Yes,
the
little
like little,
bevel type shit. I was like, damn, does Lino like study rail types? Do you like what do I not know about rails that I need to know?
that's what they're called here. I
Yeah.
don't
Ornamental iron. That was the
ornamental
first
iron.
time I've heard that in my life. Because I've heard
Really?
of steel or like a I've heard I hear round, square, steel, and aluminum. I know aluminum
Oh,
sucks.
you know what people call the ornamental iron, they also call them house rails.
House rails. Yeah, I can
Yeah,
see
that's
that.
probably you've probably heard
Yeah,
that before then,
yeah. So yeah, I wrote that down. Let's see what else. Oh, I want to know. Let's do a quick overrated or underrated little thing. I'll say something and you say whether it's over or underrated. High seat posts.
underrated, man.
Nice. Free
Jesus,
coasters. How
sitting down is great.
sitting down is great. Sitting down and pedaling is pretty tight. Free coasters.
I have one, so and yeah, it's
When
underrated.
did you were early on it, I think, right? 2008, 2007. When did you first put a free coaster on?
Probably around 2008. Yeah,
That was when it was still almost like
that was when the
special.
fakie pole jam
Yeah.
clip was that you asked about. That was
Yeah.
2008.
Did that require some trial and error, the fucking fakie pole jam? Because now you're doing it the fucking, I think it was the most recent. I don't know which video it was. Maybe Neighborhood Watch, but also maybe not. It was you did a pole jam 180, and then you did a fakie pole jam in a line. And I was like, that's the sickest shit I've ever seen. That was so
Yeah, that
cool.
was Capital. That was the last one, yeah.
Capital. Yeah. Okay. That was so sick.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just something that I always kind of had the idea for. And that pole jam, the original one in 2008, the pole jam just worked out perfect for it. It was like the perfect angle. So.
Yeah. I don't even like that's it. I can usually like relate to what a trick feels like, but a fakie pole jam, I can't feel it.
Yeah, you're just
It's a
guessing.
wild one. Yeah,
You're
just
just doing a 180 and like
hoping.
you have no idea if you're going to hit it or not. It's like,
Yeah.
and when you hit it, it will work. It's just,
That's
you just
wild,
have
dude.
to get lucky and hit it.
Man. What's the craziest pole jam shit you've seen or been or like what's the wildest pole jam trick that you even know of?
I don't know, man. I think Harrison or some Harrison Akari. I think I've seen him do pole jam 180 double bar.
Yeah, I saw that. Harrison's fucked.
Yeah, he's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's one person I enjoy watching, right? And George too, George Duran,
Yeah.
because they're very East Coast, you know.
They seem to have it, but they also have like the ability of like the modern
They
day
have
shit, you know?
the skill, the trick skills
Yeah.
also, yeah.
Yeah.
To
Which
like
is.
apply that trick skill to like the spots. Yeah. It's pretty sick. It's just that area that they're from too. It is there's just so much stuff over there and it all looks good and it's all like just kind of perfect setup. So
Yeah, for real.
yeah.
I saw a crank arm on a pole jam, like a not even that tall of a pole jam, just a crank arm. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Four piece bars.
I mean, I have them,
I
so
know
you
you
know.
do. Underrated. Full length videos.
They're great.
Just say under or over, Lino.
Depends on the
Underrated.
video. I can definitely tell you some that are overrated if you want to go
Yeah, hit
that
me
way,
with a couple. Give me some.
but we'll save that for another
All right.
conversation.
Being sponsored.
Who cares, man? Overrated, I guess. Yeah,
And then the VX.
definitely highly overrated.
Yeah. All
Yeah.
right. And then I want to know if you could wave a magic wand and you'd never see this trick be done again. What trick would you like to never see again?
Don't know, man. I think it kind of happened naturally with the tuck no-handers.
Oh yeah, tucks are kind of gone, huh?
That little era where everybody was doing them. That was
That's
a
real.
pretty unappealing era,
Yeah.
to say the least.
It's a dog shit era. And then I actually asked that one already. I asked that one already. Oh, dude, and you had this quote that I was like, I want to write that down. In your little interview, you said sponsors need you much more than you need them. And I was like, nice. Power to the bikers.
Yep.
All right, what else do I ask on here? Eventually, Mount Rushmore. Okay, so what are you most proud of? You've been in BMX for so long. If you could like pick one project or one moment, what are you proud of?
I guess I just, oh, not necessarily proud, but I'm just happy that people still enjoy the projects that I put out, and enjoy watching, still enjoy watching me ride, and yeah, that kind of thing, man. It's been a long time, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? And there's people that are still into the stuff that I'm doing, so that's I'm pretty grateful for that. That's pretty awesome.
Fuck yeah.
And that some people get the vision also, you know what I mean? Because I sort of think of it as like artwork, you know what I mean? Like, less of a sport and more of an art. And I get really excited when people get the vision and they use like certain words to describe it. As opposed to like, you know, other words that are more commonly heard, like, you know, something like sick or crazy or something like that. That's not the reaction that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What are
Like,
you looking for? What's the best compliment you could get on a project that you put out?
this was a pleasure to watch. Like,
Nice. Yeah.
just, you know, like certain words to me, I guess, mean a little bit more. Then
Hell
like, oh,
yeah.
that was sick, or that was crazy, or whatever. It's like,
Yeah. This was
that
a
kind of sounds a
pleasure.
little like Monster Energy-ish or something like
Yeah.
that.
I like that.
Not really my lane.
Yeah, you have a very specific lane, and it's a cult classic. Like there is such a devoted, my homies Clay and Robbie, for example, they are the Lino G's of Arizona. Like that, I'll take them kind of to a spot or whatever. And I like both. I like exploring and finding the cutty stuff, but I also like having a mission and like I want to do this on this spot. But at any time that they come along on a mission type thing, they're off exploring. Like they're like, where'd Robbie and Clay though? Oh, they're spot hunting for like, a half hour. They come back, they show a picture of this weird thing and we go get it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The BMX spot-based riding. I don't even know like how you would describe it, but that's
Yeah, it's first of all, shout out to those guys. I'm a fan of their riding also, so
They're the shit.
yeah. I don't think I've actually met Clay, but I have met Robbie before.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, the whole spot thing is, like I said, I don't necessarily even think about it as like spots as much as filling in the mental map that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the spot thing is almost like a byproduct of that, you know.
Yeah. But if I
It's
showed you a
just
picture of a random stoop in some neighborhood, you would probably be able to be like, oh yeah, that's over here. You're like
a
the,
hundred percent,
yeah.
100%. We play that all the time. Me and a few of the guys, like, or even just a picture of like the ground
Yeah, you're like, oh,
somewhere.
I know where that cement
Like,
is.
I
Yeah.
know where that's at. Yeah, that's definitely a real thing.
Hell yeah.
Or I'll see stuff on movies, and they'll, you know, the movie or the show will take place somewhere else, but I
Right.
know that that's not where it's filmed, just by the way, like, you know, the ground looks, or like the buildings look, or whatever. Like, it's more of an obsession about, I don't know what you would call that or consider it,
Yeah,
but
autism. I'd call
that
that
real. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
It's fucking awesome though. That's how Clay is too, and a little bit of Robbie, but I'll show up. Yeah, it's the same. I can pop quiz him, and he's just like, "Oh yeah, that's 47th in Indian School." I'm like, "Word, cool." I can't remember where I went last week. It's funny.
Just there's a lot of interesting architecture, man. That's kind of, I guess, what it comes down to is
Yeah.
details in our paying attention to details in architecture, you know.
It's crazy how that develops, and like you get into BMX or skateboarding, and then your perception of the world from there on out is totally different. Like even if you retired BMX and you didn't think about it ever, like you're still gonna notice spots like or architecture or whatever it is. You just look at the world different. That shit's been said a thousand times, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah.
So we cover what you're proud of. Let's see. Your favorite BMX video of all time.
Of all time.
You're like, it's my part, and can I eat? That's the best thing of all time. Just kidding.
know, possibly. My personal favorite might be Standard Domination.
Nice. Yeah.
You've seen that?
Yeah, but it's like one of those where I have to go back and watch it, like almost like paying respect to the generation before me. I've watched it, but I didn't have that impact on me. It's interesting how like when you're coming to of age or whatever, like the videos that have an impact on you, it's like when you're that age, you know, and you're just getting into it. Like Standard Domination for you, for me, Animal Can I Eat and Voices were the two that are
Yeah.
fucking within my heart forever. And then like this next generation, probably like, I don't know, Sunday Grow Up could be one for them or whatever the fuck, like more recent, which is wild because it means way less to me than it used to, but I still remember that feeling of like just obsessing and watching this shit over and over again.
Yeah. Domination was a big deal for me because it, at the time, this is, I think it came out like 98 or something like that. You know, the X Games kind of just came out a few years before, and that was popular, you know?
Yeah.
So you would kind of like see that all around, and Domination was like the complete opposite of that. And they're in Domination, especially Rick Moliterno's part, which that was my favorite part. There's a lot of lines. He's just like kind of pedaling really fast, like through the city, just kind of hitting stuff. There's this one clip where he like jumps over off this loading dock over a phone booth and kind of rides both tires on the top of the phone booth, whether it was on purpose or he didn't clear it, or it still looked cool, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
it's like he used a lot of those like intricate details of the architecture that I was kind
Yeah.
of sort of attracted to, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So that was like the first time I really saw that kind of presented. I
That's
think it was
awesome. Yeah.
Glenn Milligan made that video.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to him, man. But that,
Man.
yeah, it's amazing. Bobby Fischer's part too, and
Yeah,
his
you
kind of
mentioned
first
him and
part.
I had never heard of him. I thought it was just a chess player, but I went and watched a
Yeah.
Bobby Fischer video. I think it was Style Cats that I watched of Bobby Fischer,
Oh
and it's a
yeah.
trip to look back at BMX back then, and his mix of
Yeah.
Flatland and Riding Street was so interesting to see. And yeah,
Yeah.
it's wild. Just like dropping down a six stair was part of a line, and I was like, "Let's go, dude." Like almost, pure and simple.
It's that could be, you could do that today.
Yeah.
You know, there's no
Yeah.
reason, not to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's you know.
I like your attitude on bikes. It's pretty cool. Refreshing. Okay, so that's proudest. What else the fuck? I already asked you like kind of who to watch. Yeah, fuck it. Let's wrap it up. Who's your Mount Rushmore? Lino Gonzalez, Mount Rushmore of BMX.
Well, I mentioned Rick Moliterno, so definitely for me, he was a huge, huge influence early on.
Okay.
So yeah, definitely him. Matt Hoffman for sure. That's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's that's the OG, you know. I don't know. Probably Ron W too, man.
Hell yeah.
That's
Yeah.
yeah, and probably Dave Mira, you know,
Solid. Yeah.
keep it classic.
That is a classic one right there.
Oh,
What if I said, okay, Mount Rushmore of just street riding?
just street riding, huh? Obviously got to have Ed up there. For
Ed would
sure.
look good on a mountain statue, you know?
Yeah, Gons,
Fuck yeah.
Ed, you know, yeah, you're an Arizona guy too, so you know,
Yeah.
have you seen the Gons
I've
around here?
never seen the Gons.
You never seen them in person?
No. Smoker Dave though, like I was lucky enough to be involved, and he used to show up to my parents' house when I was 18, no, 19, 20, and would be like, "Let's go film." And he was kind of on the tail end of, his riding career, and was starting with the drugs, and
Yeah.
he ended up going down the wrong path. But like I got to go out on filming missions with Smoker Dave before I even
Sick.
realized, before I realized how special that was. I was just out there doing it with this old guy that would just show up smelling like ciggies to my parents' house. My mom would be like, "Robert, there's a guy here. I don't know." Like just an older guy showing up to grab Bobby and go film. But yeah, I got some special moments with Smoker Dave. Never met the
Nice.
Gons or seen him even, but yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, man. I mean,
Ed Gons.
yeah, I'll put Moliterno on there too.
Okay,
I'll
yep.
double dip for
Yeah.
Moliterno on that, and Ralph and Bob for sure.
Hell yeah. That's pretty
Yep.
good.
Yep.
Oh yeah, and I haven't asked this question in a while, but I asked it to I think Ed when he was on, but what's your advice to a young, hungry kid who's just getting into BMX? What would you tell him to do or think?
I think Ed probably said the same thing, or
Yeah.
would say the same thing, but just enjoy riding, man. Just
Yep.
it's don't think that anybody owes you anything, or you know what I mean. If you get into it looking for that kind of stuff, you're going to be majorly disappointed. So just
Majorly. Yeah, that's real.
enjoy riding. You know what I mean. Go out there with your friends. Do what you want to do. Make your own lane. Just that kind of thing. You know what I mean.
That's huge. I like that. Make your own lane.
Yeah, that's what you're going to be the best at, and that's what's going to feel the best, you know.
Yeah. All
So,
right. What else are you gonna do today? What does Monday look like for your day off?
it is my day off, but I scheduled a flight for a student today, so I got to go do some flying.
Right, you're gonna be in the sky. That's fucking awesome.
Yep.
That's so trippy, dude. Good for you.
Thanks, man.
Anything else? Any last words?
That's it.
That's
I think
it.
that's it.
I appreciate you doing this, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man. My
Big
pleasure.
time. All right, later, guys. Okay, that's the end. Thank you for watching. And yeah, go do a fakie pole jam now. See you later.